Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. A candid conversation as we learn about dementia, Alzheimer's, and its effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, recover, overcome obstacles, and help find a positive outcome. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Good morning. I hope everybody's having a lovely day. I'm really thrilled to have a guest on the show today from Ontario, Canada, and she's via the telephone, so bear with us, listeners. Her name is Jen Roms. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Jill.
Did I say your last name correctly?
It's actually Romness, like Romney with an S.
Oh, there you go, Romneys. Well, fantastic. Jen has written a lovely book. Actually, she's written two books, and she's an artist. And so it's terrific to have her on the show today because she's going to tell us a little bit about the reason why she wrote the books. We're going to talk about her mom and the situation that she had with not only her mom and her mom having an Alzheimer's type dementia, but how her journey has kind of come along. So, Jen, just tell my listeners a little bit about yourself. You live in Ontario and you are an artist.
I am. I have to say that the genetic form of early onset Alzheimer's disease that my mom had has really impacted every aspect of my life. As Jill mentioned, I'm an artist, and I've always done art as therapy and things like that as well. But now I really specialize because I spent so much time in lockdown wards that people who have cognitive issues are in. That I actually have a whole line of specialized murals now that I do that help those with dementia have a successful day.
Oh, that's terrific. And we know that art in different forms, music, so on and so forth, really help people with this disease to relate a little bit better and to communicate. But Jen, let's talk about why you wrote your book. Your mom, lovely woman, by the way, my goodness, the pictures of her in your book. It wasn't always easier in your younger years with her husband, Dan, who is your biological father, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Can you explain a little bit about, growing up with your mom and kind of what led to the situation that created the books in the first place?
Sure. My father was always very controlling. And at first, the controlling aspect of his basically abuse over our family, it was smaller. It was him telling my mom who her friends could be, what clothes she could wear, where she could work. He tried to keep her from graduating high school so that she could get a better job. And that also followed through with me as well. He didn't want me to become educated either and pursue jobs that he thought were above me. He preferred if mom and I were just waitresses and that kind of thing. And that's kind of a sad thing to happen, but it's not terribly uncommon or even considered abuse for, as far as a criminal definition of the word. Mm-hmm. But the more he did it, the more his abuse increased. And because my mom did have this genetic form of Alzheimer's, she really became entrapped by this control that he had over her.
And it got worse as time went on because he actually escalated that into a pretty serious situation. And in later years, when she became further progressed with the disease, at that point, he moved her to a place that wasn't really nice and you couldn't find her.
That's right. That's when the abuse really got on the radar as far as the police and other authorities were concerned. In 2009, my father moved my mom into an unknown institution without telling any friends or family where he had put her. And unfortunately, when I went to the police to file a missing report or to help find my mother, they couldn't help me because to them, she wasn't a missing person. My father knew exactly where she was, but he wanted to keep her and his family secrets hidden.
And that must have been the hardest thing you have ever experienced, even with the history you had.
Absolutely. My mom and I were very close. We were more like sisters than the typical mother-daughter bond because she had me as a young teenager. And because of the abuse, I grew up quickly and she stayed more childlike. So personality-wise, we were very close that way as well. And to have her disappear in modern day Canada was just shocking to me that this could happen.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And worse yet, because you did not have power attorney over your mom, your dad, we're just going to call him Dan, okay? Is that
sure.
All right with you? He presented you as sort of the long-lost, horrible daughter and created a situation where the people at the place that she was at, the facility, wouldn't share information with you. It was just a constant struggle.
You have to imagine their confusion because my father had filled out all my mom's medical records and health forms and whatnot, saying that my mom had no next of kin. Mm-hmm. And then after weeks of searching, I would show up. And there I was. I looked exactly like my mom. You can see the pictures in the book. We have a very strong physical resemblance. All our ID matched. I had ID with her maiden name. I had ID with her common law last name. I had all those things matching up completely. So clearly I was a daughter, and yet my father, had claimed she had no next of kin. So it was confusing for everybody because then they became caught in this moral dilemma. Do they tell me where my mom is and tell me what's happening to her health and risk losing their job due to that breach of privacy law? Or I guess it would be HIPAA in the U.S. You have the same kind of issues.
Mm-hmm,
or
right.
Do they just follow my father's moral instructions to the word and keep her hidden and not tell me where she is, keep me in the dark about her disease, not tell me if she's being moved or if her disease worsens or even if she dies? It was terrible.
And so all this culminated into you writing the books. Tell my listeners the name of your book and your website so they can look at your art while we're on a break here in just a minute. So what are the names of your books?
Sure. The first book is called Entangled, Caught Between Choices. And the second book is called Entangled, Betrayed from Within. And my website is www.jenromnes.com.
Okay. And do me a favor, spell your name for the
sure.
listeners.
Sure. JenRomnes.
Excellent. Well, one of the things that really touched me about your story that you shared was the long drives that you took, and boy, they were long, trying to find your mom and taking your children with you so that they could know her when you did find her. And the visits that you had were just really beautiful, weren't they?
They were, and my mom absolutely adored her grandchildren, and that's really what makes this whole experience so heart-wrenching, because my mom wanted to be with us. She wanted us to, you know, just to have that familial bond, the grandmother-granddaughter bond, that just carried the girls around. And when the girls are small, having a slight dementia doesn't really affect them too much. They think it's normal. They think it's funny. Mom could read a story over and over again and not be fazed by it, whereas I would get a little cranky after the seventh or eighth read. But because my mom's short-term memory was so terrible, she'd read all the gusto on the 20th time. It was fantastic, and she blended perfectly with my girls.
Oh, exactly. And, you know, when we're going to take a little break here in just a minute, but when we come back, we're going to talk about what I call fighting the good fight. You had a couple of your friends come and help you so that you could actually talk with your mom, get a POA signed so that it would be a game changer in this whole thing. And you actually had a hearing set where you could tell your side of the story, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when we come back, I want to talk about that, if you don't mind, Sharon, and what that day looked like, how you got her to sign the POA, and what were the OCCB hearings and so on and so forth, because you won that. And I have to tell you, I am so proud of you. You and I share, unfortunately, a journey in that where I had to protect my mom against some abuse as well. So we're going to take a short break. We'll come back and then we'll launch into that and we'll tell the rest of your story. Okay. Sound good?
Sounds great.
Okay, Jen, stay with us for just a minute. We'll hear a word from our sponsor, Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center, and we'll be right back.
Making the decision to place your loved one in the care of others is one of the most difficult decisions you'll ever have to make. If that someone special is in your life and is needing memory care, Bellevue Heights is the place to call home. Bellevue Heights, part of the JEA Senior Living family, is deeply committed to serving people living with Alzheimer's and other related dementias. Bellevue Heights believes that supporting families and caregivers is just as important as caring for our residents. We offer free monthly support groups, education and lecture series, and presentations by experts in Alzheimer's and dementia care. All of our programs are free and open to the public. Call Bellevue Heights at 303-690-0700 to learn more about the high standard of individualized care they can offer your loved one. And ask about our current and upcoming education opportunities and support groups. Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center is located at 14500 East Bellevue Avenue in Aurora. Visit jeaseniorliving.com or call 303-690-0700 to schedule a tour. Come home to family. Come home to Bellevue Heights.
Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. A candid conversation as we learn about dementia, Alzheimer's, and its effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, recover, overcome obstacles, and help find a positive outcome. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
All right, welcome back, listeners. I've got Jen Romney's with me, I'm so sorry, from Ontario, Canada. And Jen has written a couple of really great books about her mom, their journey with Alzheimer's, and unfortunately some subsequent abuse that happened that created some situations. Jen, tell our listeners again the names of your books, and then we'll get into fighting the good fight.
Sure. The first book is called Entangled, Caught Between Choices, and the second one is called Entangled, Betrayed from Within. Actually, if you just Google my last name on Amazon, you enter that in, my last name is so unique, it comes right up.
Okay, and that's Romnes for my listeners. Okay, so Jen, in your books, you talked about two of your friends coming to the facility that your mom was at, and I call it that for a reason. And they actually helped you with getting a power of attorney from her so that you could move forward and try to get better care for her.
It was a little bit more complicated than that. My father had such control over her was because he had a power of attorney that my mom had signed out in the early 90s when her mother was sick with Alzheimer's. And in Canada, we have guardianship or conservatorship is like the ultimate control, then powers of attorney, and then it goes to substitute decision-making law. So my father had the power of attorney over her, and in order for my mom to be able to make her own decisions or to be taken seriously by any other of her care team, she had to have my father removed as her power of attorney, so she had to revoke those. So that's what my friends did. They were family friends that I had known since I was in high school and who had known me and my family for almost two decades, and they live close by to my mom's facility. So what happened is they came to her facility to have these forms signed, and it turned out to be a very difficult day. The nursing home was not receptive to exercising my mom's rights to make her own decisions and put up quite a few hurdles for us that day, which I explain in full in the book.
Absolutely. And I have to tell you, that was riveting. I blasted through those pages. I couldn't put it down. It turned out that it moved to where you were allowed to have a hearing. Can you talk about that?
Yes, sure. Once my mother's power of attorneys had been revoked, it turned to substitute decision-making law. And unfortunately, although my mom had said that she had wanted my father removed as her decision maker, it didn't actually turn out that way once she had revoked her powers of attorney. Because in Canada, common law spouses, because my parents were never married, common law spouses outrank biological kin. So they outrank children and sisters and brothers and all of that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So although my mom had tried to remove him, she hadn't successfully completely removed him because, again, I couldn't take my mom out of the facility to see a lawyer to get a new power of attorney signed. And there was a lot of other issues about that it couldn't be done. So the next step for me was to have this hearing at the Ontario Consent and Capacity Board. And in the States, it's the same as Canada, where you have powers of attorneys for personal care and you have powers of attorneys for finances, and they're different. Mm-hmm. So the Ontario Consent and Capacity Board only deals with personal care, so all the health care issues and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I got a tip from that after being on CBC, which is similar to your NPR, telling about my mom's story and how I felt that privacy law was being misused in my mother's case, because basically privacy was keeping me from knowing where she was as my father moved around 8 different institutions in 2 years. So finally she ends up in this one in Mississauga, which is a sister city to Toronto, part of the GTA. And this hearing gets triggered. And that's when I was finally able to have my father confront him in court to have him removed as my mother's decision maker.
And you came prepared. You had binders for everyone in the room, which I want the listeners to know how important that was for you to put your ducks in a row and to have all the proof that you had, because this was a monumental fight to get this changed so you could be in charge of her personal care.
It was critical because at that point I'd become so broke from legal fees trying to go through Ontario Supreme Court that I couldn't afford my own lawyer. So I really, 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 really had to prepare. I'd already spent tens of thousands of dollars and this was going to be my big day. And unfortunately, my parents were well off. So my father had hired this high-powered lawyer from Toronto, an expert in its field. And it was me against this expert lawyer who I knew was going to doggedly pursue my father's wish to maintain control. Mm-hmm. So it really was, I really had to make sure. And not only that, but there's a problem with the system, which I would really like to highlight as well, where if a person's power of attorney isn't being followed, or if the person isn't making decisions that reflect the best interests or wishes of the person, there are no real mechanisms in place to correct that outside of court. Mm-hmm. So in order for the system to be corrected, you actually have to prove abuse. So the victim has to prove that the other person is being abusive, not that the person is following the ill person's wishes.
Wow.
So So on the first day of the hearing, as I described in the book, my mother's legal aid lawyer, who got assigned to her because she was an incapacitated person at this point, she had lost the ability to talk due to Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. So he had pulled me aside and basically said to me, don't proceed. You're going to lose against your father's expert lawyer. And in order for you to, you know, get any benefit from this hearing, you have to prove abuse. And if you can't prove abuse, then let's just call this off and get out of here before your father makes things worse for you and your mother.
Mm-hmm. But guess what? You did your job. You represented your mom. You represented her as a person, not as a person with Alzheimer's. You talked about who she was as a person and the love you and your family had for her, and you won.
I did.
That's amazing. But it wasn't the end of the story. It was not the end of the story. It just, Dan just was a real piece of work in this case, wasn't he? Which is what makes your book so good. Hey, really quick, what do your girls remember about your mom?
Chloe remembers my mom being ill. Unfortunately, she was just over 2 years old in 2009 when my mom went missing. Mm-hmm. And because my father moved her around so much, there were literally months at a time where she couldn't see her grandmother. So when I finally won the hearing and was able to get the kids visiting with my mom regularly again, my mom already was severely ill. She, again, couldn't talk. She got into a wheelchair because of her mobility issues, falling and things like that. So those are the memories that Chloe has. And for Kate, she remembers my mom. She was 5 when my mom got locked away. So she remembers my mom well, and she remembers her sick. But her memories of her sick, again, are more clear because of that time lapse where she wasn't able to see my mom due to my father's actions. Mm-hmm. So what I do now is I try to, like, whenever I cook with a recipe for my mom, I talk about my mom, and, you know, I tell them, you know, this is from her. This is a taste from Grandma Darlene, a recipe from her. And, you know, these are the you know, a shawl that she made. And these are these things that I have, like, very few things that I have of her, from her. I always try to share them with the kids and keep her memories alive that way for her too. So, 'cause I don't want them just to remember her as being somebody that sick.
Oh, of course. And that's what makes you so resilient. It's part of what we practice here on the show of overcoming obstacles and adversity to find a positive outcome. And I'm just really proud of you, and also of your husband, Chris's support. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about his support and how you got in the Diane study, which is a sister study to the one I'm in. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor.
Making the decision to place your loved one in the care of others is one of the most difficult decisions you will ever have to make. If that someone special is in your life and is needing memory care, Bellevue Heights is the place to call home. Bellevue Heights, part of the JEA Senior Living family, is deeply committed to serving people living with Alzheimer's and other related dementias. Living with purpose and meaning is the best reward at Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. Your loved one will live life to its fullest. Licensed nurses on staff 24 hours a day, compassionate caregivers, 3 well-balanced meals, and 3 healthy snacks are a few key elements of the JEA difference. We also offer fully furnished private and semi-private rooms, meaningful activities, and scheduled outings. Call Bellevue Heights at 303-690-0700 to learn more about the high standard of individualized care they can offer your loved one. Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center is located at 14500 East Bellevue Avenue in Aurora. Visit jeaseniorliving.com or call 303-690-0700 to schedule a tour. Come home to family. Come home to Bellevue Heights.
Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. A candid conversation as we learn about dementia, Alzheimer's, and its effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, recover, overcome obstacles, and help find a positive outcome. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Okay, we're back with Jen Romneys. And Jen, I am just so truly impressed with you. I bought both of your books and read them in like 3 days. They were absolutely riveting, and I got them on Amazon, I believe. I'm pretty sure I did. So let's get a little further on this. You've been fighting for the rights of people who have domestic abuse, and it's a serious issue, isn't it? Especially with people that have cognitive impairment and dementia of some type.
It is. It becomes even more troublesome when people do have cognitive impairments due to different capacity-robbing diseases. And you know, preventing domestic abuse is such a large problem that you almost have to target it in small, small places. So the two places that I'm targeting it in is visitation law, which is what has been passing through the NASGA, N-A-S-G-A in the U.S., they pass these visitation laws, which basically guarantees that familial bond. And if the person wants to visit with them, then they are allowed to visit regardless of what the power of attorney says.
Excellent.
And unless there's like a restraining order or actual legal reason to prevent the visit. So okay. Good for you in the U.S. for going forward with that. And there are other organizations like Kasem Cares, which went through a similar situation as mine, where the children couldn't see their sick and dying father. And again, it's a common sense situation to fix. So I think that both Canada and the U.S. can do much better with this problem.
I agree.
The other one is sharing medical information, because in my case, the illness was genetic and I couldn't pursue my own health care and protect my own children with their health care without knowing my mother's genetic information. And my father kept that information from me until I had that hearing and had him removed.
That's right. And I have told my listeners many times that I'm in a study, a familial study, out of Washington University at St. Louis. And I don't know if you're in that same one, but you're in the Diane study. Will you talk about that?
Sure. As you know, there's not a lot of uplift when you have a capacity-robbing disease with Alzheimer's. And Diane is a really amazing experience run by very passionate researchers and staff members and all of that who really want to make a difference with Alzheimer's. Diane stands for the Dominantly Inherited Alzheimer's Network. And I still, even now, I still can't believe I'm a part of this study, because in Entangled, I had showed how skeptical I was that I, like, our family was one of the three that had, one of the few who had one of those three deadly Alzheimer's genes, because there's only around 500 or so families worldwide who have one of these extremely rare inheritable genes. And this study, Diane, targets those families, because if you inherit the gene, there's a 99% chance you will get Alzheimer's. There's only one person I know of who has the gene who hasn't experienced the regular onset of symptoms. And typically it happens early in these families. So it's a gold mine for researchers, because they're able to see what happens to somebody who has Alzheimer's before those symptoms of memory loss show up. and then it provides some drug targets to start stopping the disease and preventing that massive cascade of memory loss and function loss and all of that. And it's really empowering. And I've got to know the most amazing people by doing these, arranging these conferences with the families of these who have these genes, as well as belonging to the study itself.
Right. And good news is you did the testing and you don't have the gene. Congratulations.
That's correct.
Yay.
Yeah.
So excellent.
So in Dian, I'm on the observation side of it. Mm-hmm. I am on the side where basically researchers need to know what the actual biomarkers are of the disease. So they need to study both those who have the disease and those who don't, so they know what normal aging looks like versus aging with the gene and getting Alzheimer's. And because of that, they've realized that Alzheimer's actually starts 15 to 20 years before you start losing your memory.
That is so true. Yes.
And it's because of studying these families that they realize that. And now they're starting to find really early targets. So they're hoping that they can find some sort of, you know, statin equivalent, you know, for heart disease, for Alzheimer's, that will, it probably won't completely cure the disease, but at least it will make it a manageable and delay the, you know, putting people into long-term care homes at least by 10 years.
That's
even
true.
If they can do that, it'd be a huge success, because currently, as you know, Alzheimer's is a top 10 killer disease that has no treatment or cure now. So we're really desperate to find something. And I think the people at Dian are hopeful that they're on the right track.
Right. Absolutely. And I want to tell you, In upcoming shows, you inspired me. On the 30th of July, listeners, you need to have your pen and pencil, because due to Jen's books, I've asked a wonderful person to come on the show, and her name is Clara Lee Charlton, and she's going to talk about power of attorney, and if you sell your parents' home, what the tax ramifications are for that, and what gets covered on Medicaid and Medicare when you are in charge of your parents' finances, and if you have somebody come into the home and help them and work with them, and what's not covered. And it's going to be a really, really good show. And next week, next Sunday, I'm going to have a lovely good friend of mine, Rosalind Reese, who's going to come on and talk about cultural diversity. She's going to talk about how Alzheimer's and different types of dementia affect our multiracial communities, especially the Latinos out there in our Denver metropolitan area and our African-American community. Jen, we've got about 2 minutes left. Tell me your final thoughts in remembering your mom and her legacy. And I'm really proud you've done this.
Sure. I'm definitely committed to having a legacy for my mom. She had a disease, Alzheimer's, which is the disease of forgetting. And I feel it's my job to ensure that she and her story are not forgotten. I speak to her all the time, about her all the time to my girls. I tell her the stories, and I cook with her recipes. And I always make sure I tell everyone who's eating with us which ones are my mother's recipes. And it's actually really touching, because already readers of Entangled have told me that they've made life-changing decisions because of my mom's story. And that's as amazing as legacy gets.
Fantastic.
And I do hope to do more, you know, by getting Canada to catch up with the U.S. and to protect people who have diseases such as Alzheimer's, change some of these laws, like your visitation bills.
Right. And big, big stuff. That's huge. And I'm going to put a link to your website, if that's okay, on the podcast on my website. So it's summitresiliencetraining.com under my radio podcast. Listeners, you can go on there, as you always do, and listen to the show. If you want to hear it again or share it with somebody, please do. And you will be able to link straight to Jen's site, so you can see her art, you can purchase her books, and let her know your thoughts about what she's written and what she's done on behalf of her mom, Darlene. I really, really appreciate you coming on. As a person who changed laws in Illinois, we had two changes of laws in Illinois about my mom's case, and one is that people with a criminal background cannot work in care communities or facilities in Illinois, and also gradual dose reduction. Because you can no longer in the state of Illinois, on my mom's behalf, give medication to somebody without targeting a symptom. And every 30 days, you have to gradually reduce those medications to make sure that you're treating a symptom. Jen, you and I are world changers. We're doing it one step at a time, and I am proud to call you my new friend. Thank you for being on the show. I hope listeners will check out your website, check out your art, read your book, and I just think you are a wonderful person. Thank you so much, Jill.
Oh, likewise.
So glad to have you on the show. You have a wonderful rest of your year, and if you write anything else or want to tell us about some artwork you're doing, we'll have you back on the show, okay?
Lovely. Thank you, Jill.
Take care, Jen. And listeners, have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. Visit her website at summitresiliencetraining.com to learn more and join us next week as we learn more about dementia, Alzheimer's, and overcoming obstacles with a positive outcome. See you next time.